Perhaps you've been wondering what our friendly neighborhood skit guys have been up to lately. Well, let's go take a look in on them today.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie, the Skit Guys here, and we want to talk to you about a very special event in church history.
That's right. Pentecost. It's the celebration when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven to dwell within us, the church.
It's also one of my favorite moments in church history.
Oh yeah, why is that?
Oh, because it had to be insane, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit shows up, everybody starts speaking in tongues. I mean, that had to be crazy.
Wait, just so we're on the same page. You're saying tongues, right?
Tongues.
Tongues?
Right, tongues.
Tongues.
We're totally saying the same thing.
Acts chapter 2 describes this scene. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be there?
Okay, can I get everyone to quiet down, please?
Shh.
Please quiet. Can I get people...
No, don't.
Shh. Order in the court!
Whoa, hey, Bull Shannon, this isn't night court. Just talk normal like one of the disciples.
Okay, time out. Okay, hey, do you mind not interrupting my process, okay? Sometimes I like to free-flow linguistically, okay? And what you're doing is, you're clamping that, and, like a clampy thing, you know, the clamp.
Question,
yeah.
Is this you right now free-flowing linguistically? Because I want to make sure I'm aware of it, and I see it when you do it. Is this your process? Because I want to be there for you when you do that. Is this it? All right, it's been a few weeks since Jesus ascended, and this is a situation.
Yeah, we've been reading some of your suggestions on what to call ourselves, and look, to be honest with you, some of them are worse than Bartholomew's beard.
He's right. Bart, I love you, but your beard looks like Sasquatch got interrupted halfway through a face wax.
Okay, somebody suggested we call ourselves Jesus and Friends. Maybe it's just me. That sounds a little cultish.
A little bit. Do you hear that?
Yes. It sounds like there's an ice cream truck outside.
Time out. It sounds like an ice cream truck, he says. I'll take idiotic statements for 200, Alex.
The verse says they heard a sound from heaven. Can you name something more heavenly sounding than an ice cream truck?
You know what I like about you, buddy? You live every day like it's Shark Week, don't you?
Would you just go with me? Look, would you just be the Tinkerbell to my Peter Pan?
Hey, I am nobody's Tinkerbell. Got me?
Somebody's got Neverland baggage.
Did you hear that? It sounds like a strong wind.
An ice cream truck.
All right, everyone, just relax. Calm down. We're going to go check this out. See? No ice cream truck.
Yeah. Just like flaming tongues descending from heaven.
So, no ice cream truck. Sorry, Andrew, no dreamsicles today.
Hey, is it just me? Or is everybody speaking in different languages?
Right. Het is all het Leidersvensal von Christus in here. Mars under and tindering.
Oh, Dios mío. ¿Por qué son reclamado? ¿Por qué no son conquisto? ¿Por qué no son conquisto?
Delfis tenga que ver con el camión de helados?
Je suis tellement confus.
It's been awesome for word.
Good hungry.
Have a license for word.
Must have been confusing after the Spirit came down, but only until God's word came through.
You know, God spoke to everyone that day through his Spirit. Didn't matter what language they spoke or who was speaking.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? God loves us so much that he goes to supernatural lengths to make sure we know his word. And that's what Pentecost is all about.
It's also about learning how to speak with palms. I find if you hold them lightly, more than...
I knew we weren't saying the same thing. Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
Well, I guess once they resolve their tongue dispute, they'll be just fine again. But they're truly right about the reason Holy Spirit came. He is the very Spirit, the very spiritual embodiment of the truth, while Christ Jesus is the very physical embodiment of the truth. Holy Spirit is the very presence of Father God, whose presence is also carried physically in totality by Lord Jesus. By virtue that Lord Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, exchanging his perfect righteousness for our total depravity, we now carry his righteousness as we're covered in his blood. That doesn't just cover, but washes clean, deletes all our sin, eliminating all trace as if we had never, ever sinned. Father God has no memory of our sin because Christ Jesus took our punishment. The sin no longer exists, and the very memory of it, Father God has dropped into the sea of forgetfulness. The very memory of that vileness never again soiling the thoughts of his heart of love. Holy Spirit is the divine comforter, life giver, teacher, guide. He is very God living inside us. Try to imagine it. The very creator of all things and ourselves is himself living within us, as he always intended from before the beginning of time. There is no limit to his love, and he wants to cherish and hold close to himself each and every one of us. He wants to pour out his spirit love without measure to each of us. Yet, for various reasons, we hold him back. Of course, when we sin, and then after Holy Spirit reveals to us our fall from his glorious perfect living, and we finally repent, we're yet again restored to fellowship with him. But in this earthly life, we're never in complete, full fellowship with Holy Spirit because we never fully open ourselves up to him. We're always, consciously and unconsciously, holding parts of ourselves back from him, and even back from ourselves. Why is this? Well, God has told us why. Holy Spirit taught us this most famously through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? We're more than capable of deceiving others right and left, but we also deceive ourselves consciously and unconsciously. Sometimes so deeply we're completely unable to see it. So the Bible also shows us how to deal with our self-deception. King David prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, as just one example to us. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your great, glorious, everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. And the Spirit of Truth will reveal everything that is amiss within us in our self-understanding. But he can't do it all at once, because we can't deal with it all at once. So much of our self-understanding, self-image, standards of self-behavior have developed and evolved over the many years of our lives. The devil and his demonic entities work overtime to sow seeds of discord, disinformation, and duplicity everywhere we go and everywhere we look. Just look at the transgender madness afflicting so many as the most blatant, obvious example of self-deception in our world today. It used to be rightly identified as a mental illness, but now, as the power brokers in our society have also deceived themselves, it's deemed perfectly natural, healthy, and good. Lies, lies, all of it, another pack of lies. We can all think of many more lies in today's world. Among Christians who should know better, again rearing its hideous head, is anti-Semitism. In some churches, euphemistically termed replacement theology. No, Christians have not replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. Proven among hundreds of biblical references, just look at today's lesson from Ezekiel 37. Who can rationally deny that God, through Ezekiel, was not prophesying the rebirth of Israel as a nation? No one, unless they are self-deceived. These are just two examples. The government has been brazenly lying for decades. Our educational institutions have been flagrantly teaching us lies. Our scientific and medical establishments, too. Our judges and courts have been swept up in the world of lies that claims its truth. We are swimming in an ocean of deceptions. Holy Spirit is waking us up little by little to realize that we need to swim up to the surface toward the Spirit of Truth to truly seek His guidance and instruction as to what is really real, as opposed to the gigantic, seemingly all-encompassing construct of lies that life in this world demands. For nearly everything we've assumed is truth in our recent history, and increasingly ancient history as well, is lies from the devil, all to make God's people as miserable and weak as possible, to kill as many of us as he can through abortion and a myriad array of other diabolical means, all to inflict as much pain and suffering on God's loving heart as he can. But he doesn't, never has the last word. God knows exactly what the devil's trying to do, and God has him checkmated already from before the beginning of time. The devil certainly realizes this, but he knows not when and how God will lay the hammer down. So, now let's pray in a song. If you know it, join it.
Holy Spirit, hear us now.
So what do we do now? The world is downright depressing. Just stop participating in this world of lies. Question everything. And ask the teacher, the divine encourager, the spirit of truth, to come into us, revealing more and more truth that we can live victoriously in spite of the degradation and decaying of this world. Now, let's pray again, in unison, repeating every phrase as it appears on screen as the concluding prayer of this message. O Holy Spirit, who is light unto your children, may you enlighten us. Spirit, who gives never-ending grace, may you replenish us. O Holy Spirit, who is the fire of life, may you burn in our hearts. O Holy Spirit, who is Lord and giver of life, a cloud lessening our temptations, as the dew reviving our weariness, as fire purging the waste in our hearts, as water purifying our spirits, as the wind sending us out, as a dove